Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Man, Kirk Cousins hit the quarterback lottery again. Cousins to the Falcons for $45 million a year with $100 million guaranteed. Keyshawn, give the Falcons a letter grade for a signing that immediately made them the prohibitive betting favorites to win the NFC South.
A B.
Okay.
I give them a B. A simple B. This is not something that's getting ready to take them over the top. It's a weak division, okay, and it brings them even, as far as I'm concerned, with the Atlanta Falcons, right? And when you look at it, they got some young talent. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, obviously, Kyle Pitts at the skill positions. But they got new head coaches. They got a new head coach in Raheem Morris.
Yep.
You know, interim there before, short term in Tampa as a head coach. Decent defensive coordinator. Actually, better than decent defensive coordinator with the Rams.
He was very good. Yeah.
But it got new coordinators on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Lake has never been a defensive coordinator in the National Football League.
I assume
League.
Raheem will try to oversee that. But
Jimmy, from what I understand in talking to Raheem, Jimmy's going to call it. I asked Raheem that on my podcast. And knowing Raheem, I said, are you going to call it? He said, no, Jimmy's going to call it. So, so when you start looking at it, it's like, okay. Because Kirk Cousins is in that NFC top five quarterback ranking, if you want to rank him. He's in there somewhere in that five. That's not saying a lot.
Because
there's not a lot of great quarterbacks NFC as of right now.
They're all on the other side.
You got young ones, right? You got young Brock Purdy. You got young Jordan Love.
Yep.
You know, we don't know what's going to happen with Justin Fields. You got young in Carolina. So when you start to look at it, to pay, you need a quarterback. There's no question about it. Somebody's got to play quarterback. But to pay Kirk Cousins this type of money in a two-year span to do what? Because you're not better than Dallas. You're not better than Philadelphia. You're not better than San Francisco.
Are you better than Tampa? That's my question.
I was going to get there. Yeah. Are you better than Tampa?
Yeah, good question.
So if you're just, are you better than Green Bay?
Good question.
Probably not better than Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So as I start to look at those things,
I'm
like.
Did you mention San Francisco?
I said San Francisco.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I said San Francisco.
Okay.
And the Rams, they just always, Sean McVay just knows how to win football games.
Listen, Matthew Stafford can still spin the football. I don't care what you say.
So when I look at this and I say to myself that you're giving a guy $100 million, you got to pay somebody at the quarterback position.
You do.
But one playoff game and a win? You always talk about playoffs, right? And the success rate of playoff. Dude got one playoff win. Been in the league forever. I mean, it's the truth.
Oh, it's funny.
It's funny, and that was in 2019 in a wild card game against the Saints in overtime.
Yeah.
So when you talk about money, and I'm never one to look at people's money. It's not my money. I don't care. I'm not counting anybody's money, but I'm gonna count this one. By the time this thing is over, Kirk Cousins will have made $411 million of gross money for one playoff win. By the time his deal is up in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Unless he goes and wins one for the Atlanta Falcons.
Unless he goes and wins. I'm assuming he does it.
Okay.
I'm just assuming that does it. That makes him fourth in the history of the National Football League. Now, some people will pass him over time. Joe Burrows and Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott, they'll pass him. But as it stands right now, $411 million, man, for one playoff. I don't get it. But, hey,
hey,
hats off to him. If you can get it, get it, man.
Get it.
Get it.
All right. At the risk of coming across this morning as the grouch who stole Christmas, because this is Christmas morning for a lot of NFL fans, I gave the Saquon to Philadelphia trade a C-. You gave it an A.
But you don't like him.
Okay. And I'll give this a B-. Kirk Cousins to the Atlanta Falcons. And yet, I'm not going to condemn the Falcons because they're desperate for a quarterback, as we know. They tried the Desmond Ridder experiment, and it failed miserably, and it cost Arthur Smith his job. It's why Raheem had a great quote the other day: if we'd had better quarterback play, I wouldn't be standing here. He wouldn't have been on your podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to do something. This is just me. I think Baker Mayfield is better than Kirk Cousins. I just like his fire desire. I just like his energy. I like his clutchness. I like how he can ignite a whole football team around him.
I don't disagree with you on that.
Okay. So Baker stayed home, and I do think he took something of a hometown discount because he loves it there, and they do love him there. So Baker got $30 million.
Yeah, probably was Baker's number.
Okay.
From Atlanta.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But basically, if you boil this one down, if we say $100 million guaranteed and you're kind of looking at it as 2 years to see what happens.
Yeah, it's a two-year deal.
Okay, so it's 50 and 50. Yeah. Let's just call it $50 million a year. Baker got $30
million.
Yeah. Okay, boy, you're getting up there toward double what Baker got. So I thought that Arthur Blank might just say, you know what? I'm going to go get that kid, Baker Mayfield. I'm going to sting Tampa, and I'm going to bring him here.
I think they tried to talk to Baker, but Baker wanted to stay home. And I told you, Skip, that's where he should stay.
And you were right about that. And
he needs to stay where they know him.
I agreed with your premise was just don't take the money and run, because you're going to go into a whole new world and a new situation with new pressure, new teammates, and a new coordinator and a new head coach. He got to pick that Liam Cohen to be his new coordinator in place of Canales. So it's all good. And they got Mike Evans done in Tampa. And I'm still shocked by it, because Mike Evans had a career year last year. And I was just afraid he would hit the open market and hit the lottery.
But he could have hit the open market, but he's comfortable.
He's comfortable, and so is Baker. And they are comfortable together. Yeah. And it was kind of a joint. You stay, I stay, you stay, you want to stay? Yeah, let's both stay. And they both probably gave Tampa a little bit of a hometown discount.
Mike could have probably got a little bit more on the open market, and Baker probably could have got a little bit more on the open market. The problem with Baker going somewhere else is you, much like you just said, Skip, you going into a new environment, new situation. Everything is so new.
Yeah.
Where although Dave Canales is now in Carolina, there's still people in that building. And the head coach that knows your do's and your don'ts, there's still Bruce Arians that's in that building that knows your do's and your don'ts.
He does.
So stay there.
And listen.
Take a little less money.
Todd Bowles is
And get your career going.
Todd Bowles is a stud. He's just a stud. He's got character. He's got stature. He's a rock. And Baker loved him and vice versa.
And Baker's still young, Skip.
He is.
Like I said to you before, his deal is a two-year deal too.
Okay.
Okay? And he can hit. He's either going to hit again or he's not going to hit again.
Okay, you got it. He'll hit again. He's in a good spot. He's finally found his sweet spot. Now back to your first point. I've said it before, and I'm going to triple down on this. Kirk Cousins is the most overpaid player in the history of football, and it ain't even close. This was a fourth-round draft choice who has played the game, as in the negotiating game, the boardroom game, better than anybody who ever came down the pike, because Kirk Cousins and his agent have genius at playing the game of being in the right place at the rightest time.
Can't fault
him for that. Again and again and again.
Can't fault him for that.
He got the two big tags in Washington before he left. He got the $84 million guaranteed to go to Minnesota. He re-upped in Minnesota for another big guarantee. I think it went to $35 million. And look at him now. He arrived just as the Atlanta Falcons said, we are desperate. We plunge on Kurt, as they used to call him, his former GM called him in Washington, Kirk Cousins.
But the quarterback market and free agency was weak this year.
It was.
That's
called being right place at the right time.
Essentially, he probably was the best free agent quarterback that had the most experience that was available.
Unless you want to talk Russ as in Russell Wilson.
Russ is different. Okay. Russ is looking to win in a certain situation.
That is true. Okay. 400, I had 412, but I'll use your number. 411.
411.6.
Okay, I'm going to go to 412.
So your Vanderbilt education didn't help you.
No. All right. $412 million. I'm going to remind everybody that in 23 years of playing football, Tom Brady made $333 million.
Now, he took Super Bowls.
but he took a few hometown discounts along the trail.
Somewhere.
Here and there. But 333 versus 412 with seven Super Bowls and 10 appearances. Versus, to your point, one playoff win and three losses. And
right place at the right time.
Okay, of those three losses, two of them were suffered at home. One was to Aaron Rodgers in Washington, but the other was to the quarterback you love the most. Daniel Jones, you don't even think should be a quarterback, beat Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. And I'm just going to double down on the points that you made as we open this show. I watched Andy Dalton go up there for my Cowboys as the quote-unquote backup quarterback and shellack him. I watched Cooper Rush in his first NFL start go up there and beat him at the buzzer. I watched Dak Prescott go up there and hang 40 on him and wipe him out, wipe him off the face of his field in Minneapolis in Minnesota.
I've
never got him because he looks like a little guy out there whose helmet's too big. His helmet always looks too big for his body. He looks like an alien out there with that big helmet on. Well, it's just the weirdest
look. Like an alien, man.
He does. And so I look at his overall starting record in the NFL. Yeah. He's 76, 67, and 2. So he's just barely above 500.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how? Wait, $412 guaranteed $1 million that you're getting? What caused this? Well, it's because he's pretty good. He's just good enough year after year to give you false hope. Because you look at the stats and you say, that was like last year. He went on a little bit of a roll before he tore his Achilles. God bless him. And he's been very durable until that. And that's, as you know, it's like the most mysterious injury in sports.
He pulled out a big victory in Buffalo a couple years ago, a couple seasons ago.
Yep.
He's right place at the right time.
Yeah, I guess, but I look at this and I keep saying, how do you keep pulling this off? And now come back to Atlanta. You can't tell me, Mr. Oddsmakers, that just because Kirk Cousins goes and joins that young skill talent that you reiterated on offense, and they
Drake
have
London and company,
and they have three former first round picks in their offensive line. So it should be
they
pretty
got a nice
good
defense.
They got a nice defense, and they have
the odds makers are talking about the division. Skip.
Okay, they're talking about the division.
The division's not strong. Okay. Carolina is blah. The Saints blah.
Yeah,
and then
blah.
All you got is Baker. And now, mind you, they were 9-8 last year and won the division.
Yeah.
And if Atlanta had, and Atlanta was in it all the way to the end. They were to the last two, I want to say to the second to last week the end of the year, they was in it.
They were
if
in it.
If they had any quarterback play at all,
yep,
they probably win the division.
Okay, and Baker went in there and beat them at the buzzer with a late touchdown pass, 36 seconds left to Cade Otton. And Baker went to Minnesota and beat Kirk Cousins to set the tone for the year in game number one. And Baker went to New Orleans in week four and shellacked them. But
no one is saying Baker doesn't deserve more money. He earned more money. The problem that I've always had is he has to stay put. You can't, at this age that he's at, he can't keep chasing the money because at the end of the day, he's going to hit pay dirt in Tampa or he's not. Okay? He has a better chance of succeeding in Tampa with people that know him and around him than it is with a whole new regime in Atlanta trying to figure it out for an extra buck.
Yeah. And listen, Baker paid the price for this, but he got paid a handsome price for all those progressive commercials he did.
Oh, he's fine as far as economics.
Yeah. My wife, Ernestine, always says somebody who's like that flow in the progressive commercials, like she's set for life. Well, Baker may be set for life just on the money he made from Progressive.
I want him to be set for life with his career to get back on track.
Well, I don't think the money is the object. I think he's been really good. He's made a lot of money off the field. So,
but you just can't understand Kirk Cousins.
Well, it's the marketplace,
man. Okay.
All right. And yet I can't condemn Atlanta for doing this because I'd probably sit there and do it too.
But see, if I'm in this situation, I'm going to be realistic. I'm not. You got to spend it on somebody.
You just do.
There was not the quarterbacks available out there. Now, would I have traded for Justin Fields if Chicago was willing to give him up? Most likely I would have, opposed to going to get a Kirk
Cousins.
That's
a fair point.
I probably would have tried to wrestle away Justin Fields from the Chicago Bears, depending on the price. Now I look at Justin Fields on a shorter-term deal where it's only going to cost me roughly about $2.8 million, and then I can pick his fifth-year option up.
Yeah.
Now I'm spending, I don't know, $30 million in 2 years opposed to $100 million in 2 years. And if Justin Fields, which I think with everything around him, if you had Justin Fields, you're going to win. You're going to win the division most likely.
Yeah.
You're going to be right there at the top of that division. You're going to be right there at the top of the division with Kirk Cousins. You're not going beyond that with Kirk Cousins, and you probably wouldn't have, who knows, you probably could have potentially gone beyond that with Justin Fields at the quarterback. The problem that you have is you got San Francisco in your way, Dallas in your way, Philadelphia in your way, Green Bay in your way, as the four teams, in my opinion, that's at the top in the NFC.
Yeah.
That's your problem. But you just paid a quarterback that's going to give you 2 years, and that's 2 years of whatever,
because
you're not winning the Super Bowl. It's just not happening.
I did like the fit of Justin Fields going home to Atlanta.
Yes.
I think it would have, listen, the fan base would have been on fire for that.
It would have been fun, a young, exciting team to see him with those skill set players around him. Maybe Atlanta called, picked up the phone, and maybe Chicago said no. I don't know.
And maybe Chicago said, we'll do it for a first. We want your first. And maybe they just said, that's too rich for our blood because you don't have to pay anything for Kirk Cousins except the salary. You don't have to trade for him.
But you're stuck in mud for 2 years.
You're stuck in mud. I agree. And Kirk Cousins is laughing all the way to his back.
And I'm happy for him. It's good for him.
All right. Way to go, Kirk or Kurt, whichever you are. All right, coming up, guess what? Breaking news. The Cowboys, as usual, do nothing.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right, VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
The Cowboys lost running back Tony Pollard to the Titans, but then they lost center Tyler Biadasz and pass rusher Dorrance Armstrong to Dan Quinn's Commanders, who also signed Austin Eckler. Giants pulled off a huge trade and sign for Panthers difference maker Brian Burns. Way to go, Giants. And my Dallas Cowboys predictively did nothing. As NFL Network's Jane Slater tweeted, Jerry Jones is quote unquote shopping within means, meaning waiting for that bargain basement free agent steal, which of course sends Cowboy Nation spiraling into panic mode. Keyshawn, how much are you loving Jerry's annual free agent no-show?
Why would I love? I don't care.
You kid. Love this. You want to see it suffer.
You guys are hanging on until I'm all in. That's just like, as soon as he said that, y'all went crazy. Oh, they're going to just spend money wild in free agency.
You know, I did interpret that to mean maybe this would be the time he would plunge on day one of free agency, which he's never done.
But he's never done that, though.
Except for Deion. That was
Yeah, but that was before. Wasn't that even before, no, like, the real salary just, cap and all that sort of stuff? So when you look at
there was a salary cap, but it wasn't like this.
Okay.
It just sort of came out of the blue.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's a different guy.
I'd say
that's a different. There's not one of those out there in the universe right now, right? I mean, it's just not.
Yeah.
So
literally,
if you look at it, that's the first day, man. It's been less than 24 hours of starting. So, what is the day? March 13th. So whatever, yeah, the 12th, March 12th.
All right.
The season doesn't start till September, and from now on the 12th until September. All those months in between, you know how many players are going to be coming and going that you can still get that will be ready to go? They're available. They're going to cost you a little less money. There's draft picks that still got to be drafted. Mm-hmm. You talk about your needs. You need a lot. See, you thinking all we need is one thing. Well, you need a left tackle. You need a running back.
I mean, Tyron Smith's still on the market. He didn't sign with anybody.
You need a left tackle?
Yeah.
Okay, whether you bring him back or whatever the case may be.
Draft one.
You need a left tackle. You need a running back. You need an inside stuffing linebacker. Mm-hmm. You want Bobby Wagner? I mean, like, what do you want, right? You need a center.
You definitely need a center.
So you need a run-stopping, stuffing defensive tackle.
Well, we drafted one in the first round last year.
You need another corner because Diggs is there, and I know you like Bland, but he's probably better fit to be inside versus outside. Stephon Gilmore is on the market. So you got all of these things that you got to look for. And the first wave of the initial wave of free agency started yesterday on agreements. Contracts will be signed at a later date. And now when you look at Derrick Henry, you're looking for a running back. Joe Mixon, you're looking for a running back. Do you believe you need another wide receiver? There's a Tyler Boyd out there. There's a Curtis Samuel out there. So there's a lot of players, man, that you could still sign. I wouldn't go all crazy because Jerry didn't back up the truck for somebody and say, this is what we need, this is what we want right now. Outside of Deion Sanders, when have they ever done that? Mm. I mean, like, that's just not their philosophy. Mm. And that's okay because there's a lot of teams that spent a lot of money for years. The Washington Commanders under Daniel Snyder would go at midnight, get on their jet, and go boom, 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 and spend all the money. And then
Haynesworth, he just went crazy for
Haynesworth, Bruce Smith, Deion. I mean, he had all these people, and you get nothing out of it. So I like Dallas's approach. I don't mind it at all, especially if you can pick up the pieces that you need to pick up for a fraction of the cost going early. I'm okay with that.
Mm. The soliloquy you just gave sounds like you just got off the phone with Jerry Jones, right?
No, it's the reality of it, though, Skip. No, it what do you want me to say? You want me to say that they should have been in line to pay somebody a crazy amount of money?
Yet you loved what Philadelphia did, splashing for Saquon.
Because they needed Saquon Barkley, philosophy.
Well, we don't have anybody.
Well, maybe Dallas didn't want to pay that money and they don't like his style. You say he ain't nothing. That's what you told me. Saquon Barkley is just chopped liver. He's nothing.
I gave you better than DeAndre Swift.
Okay.
I believe that yesterday was Jerry Jones' favorite day of the NFL calendar because he can get more attention than he gets all year and not even have to open his mouth because everybody keeps looking, Dallas, Jerry, what are you doing? Jerry, wake up. What are you doing? And Jerry gets to sit there and wink at Steven and say, we got this. We're going to show them all we're smarter than all of them. All these fools are out there splashing money all over the over creation. And to your point, as you look back at it, maybe one of these will hit and produce some playoff wins. But like Brian Burns, I don't know. That's a big signing to me. That was a and to get him for a 2 and a 5 because remember
the.
Not,
but the Giants aren't doing it well, just for today. They're doing it for tomorrow as
sure,
they build.
Yeah, but that's the kind of move where you look back at it and you say, God, he's just such a difference maker. He changed the way they played defense. I don't know. I'm just throwing out some
names. I understand.
Names. Like somebody, one of these, somebody will hit and you'll say, maybe it's Saquon. Maybe I'll be completely wrong, though. I doubt it. But maybe you'll look back and say, Saquon was the catalyst for a Philadelphia Super Bowl. But these are all day one splashes that you have to make where you do have to overpay on day one for everybody out there. You have to be desperate enough and feel like you're smart enough that, okay, you everybody's agreeing to win the lottery, to win the auction of these players on day one, you have to overspend. So Jerry's saying, I never do that. I wait until somebody comes to me and says, I got nothing. And is it Derrick Henry? I doubt it because I don't think he's going to come helmet in hand to Dallas and say, I just don't have anything. I'm pretty sure he's going to wind up with Baltimore. It just makes more sense. They have a glaring need there now. They lost Gus Edwards. It just makes sense to me.
If I'm Derrick Henry, where would I rather be? I'd rather be in Baltimore.
Yeah, you just would. And I'd give you that.
I'd rather be in Baltimore.
All right. So we did lose Tony Pollard. And again, he's a great kid. But I won't miss him because his leg got tore up. And he never came back from that. He had such a sensational burst.
But it was
burst.
Only 1 year, though, Skip. Yeah.
What do you mean, 1 year to come back from
it? Yeah. Now, you say you're not going to miss him. He never came. You didn't even get a dude time to come back. When you have leg injuries like that, it's
career,
not the first year.
It's career-threatening. He lost some burst, and he ran hard
in
last
his first year.
No, I got you, and I hope you're right about that for his sake, for Tennessee's sake, because they got him for cheap. But now we don't have anybody. Except Malik Davis. I don't know if you remember Malik Davis. He's kind of a banger.
What about Deuce Vaughn?
Yeah, I love Deuce Vaughn, but he's icing on the cake. He's third down, and he's electric. He did not show me electric last year.
No, he's not an every down back, smaller guy.
And he got off to a bad start, kind of a shaky start, especially he had his moments in the
preseason.
But
there's Henry, like I said, there's Joe Mixon that's out there now all
there
of a sudden.
Is. Yep. And I thought maybe there was going to be Aaron Jones, but the Vikings said no. They jumped all over that. They gave him $7 million. Jerry's not going to give a running back $7 million.
There's no telling what Alvin Kamara's situation is.
Yeah, I mean,
you got time.
You got time. But what they do, and I can't argue with it because they do it so well. Just watch. They will draft a running back in the second round, and you won't know who it is. It'll be somebody from Yale or somewhere, and you'll say, "Wow."
Is Gardy Lockbaum getting ready to
like
play?
That? Yeah, thank you. He could run. I mean, he could run fast. I don't know if he could run, but the point was that they'll draft a second rounder, and he'll be the starting running back next year. And you'll say, well, he's pretty good. Is he a difference maker? Is he Tony Dorsett? No, no. But that's how they do business. That's how they got Tony Pollard, and they got a lot of mileage out of Tony Pollard until he tore up his leg. So now you start over. Would Derrick Henry fit here? Well, sure he would. Would he help as a bell cow kind of back? He's 30 years of age.
But he can still go.
Hey, I think he can still go.
He can still go.
Yeah.
That's why he's waiting to pick the right spot. And if I'm him, Baltimore for me is the landing spot. You know, I talked to Chris Jones, Chris Johnson, the former Tennessee Titan running back, and I asked him, if there was one quarterback in the National Football League he would rather play with, who would that be? He said Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Because
Lamar's
going to make him better.
Because Lamar Jackson's going to do a whole lot to help that run game out.
He will.
And so with Derrick Henry, you got the same thing. Backs like playing with quarterbacks just like that because of the style, and you know they're going to run the football.
Yeah, and I'll give you this. The Eagles have a similar type of, like Jalen can help Saquon be better.
1,000%.
I give you that.
1,000%.
Yeah.
But y'all got other things that you need to address. You got to address three guys that's on your team, whether you like it or not, Skip. Starting with the guy that wears number 4, okay? Starting with that guy, you've got to pay him if you plan on paying the other guys. If you plan on being active in free agency, you've got to address his contract situation.
Even though there were multiple reports last week that Jerry Jones is ready to play it out and just say, Dak, show me. It's I need to see more.
Negotiation. This is the time of year where you're at the combine and everybody's sitting in the stands and they're whispering to people that really don't even matter, that don't know, and they telling them third and fourth and fifth hand information that they're getting from somebody else. Mm. Only thing that matters is Steve and Jerry and Will Clay making a decision to pay Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters. Then you can address CeeDee Lamb. Then you can address Micah Parsons and whoever else is available that you want to go out in free agency and get.
Okay. So yesterday we talked about the Pro Football Focus release of their top 101 players just graded off how they played last year. And my Dallas Cowboys had three in the top 14. Dak at 14, CeeDee at 9, Micah all the way up at 3. We were both a little surprised by that, but way to go, Micah. If you have three in the top 14, you have a chance to be really good because those are three difference-making position players, right?
Yeah, San Francisco had three, too, and they went to the Super Bowl.
They went to the Super Bowl. They had more in the top, certainly 50. They were much more loaded. But again, if we're just looking at the top 14, it's 3-3. The point being, Jerry has drafted very well over the last dozen or so years.
He's always done well with personnel.
Yeah.
He's always done well with the personnel. I have no idea why people treat him the way that they do about his so-called meddling or whatever it is that he supposedly does to disrupt what the coaches do on the sideline. I've never seen him call a play. When I played there, I've never seen Jerry say, we need to call this play.
He doesn't do that.
So I don't know why people are always saying that he's always in the way. I don't get it. I don't understand that. Even people like you say that, and I don't understand why.
Jerry?
Yeah.
Oh, he wants to know everything that's going on. He wants to know game plans. You know,
He's the owner, general manager that knows football.
Okay.
If this was a guy that only thing he knew was oil in apartment buildings, and that's all he knew, then he should just sit in his box and be quiet and write the checks. But he does it. He knows football. He actually knows football.
You know, I was around him a whole lot. I wonder about that. I'm not sure that he knows football. I think Will McClay knows football.
No, he knows football, man. Yeah. He knows football.
Okay. And yet I was around him way more than you were around him.
I get it, Skip.
Yeah.
Based on the years that you covered the Dallas Cowboys and based on knowing Tom Landry and knowing Jimmy and getting information from others, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But he knows more football than any owner in the National Football League. He knows more football than any owner in the National Football League. I can promise you that.
Thinking about that, you could
there's
be
nothing
right.
There's nothing to think about.
He did start on a national championship team at Arkansas as an offensive guard weighing about 185 pounds.
His entire family played football. All of them played. Steven played. They all played.
Yeah, Steven was a walk-on DB at Arkansas.
Still played, though.
No, he played.
So he knows to a degree what they're looking at. And Will Clay, yes, he's there to help sign off on certain guys, but it's not, you're not bringing in, this isn't David Tepper. I want that quarter. This is not that.
No.
You know? So.
So Jerry gets a kick out of bargain shopping because remember last year I gave him high marks for these. He pulled off two trades where he went and got a former defensive player of the year and Stephon Gilmore for a fifth round choice. Okay. So for a fifth round pick, I'll take that. And he went and got Brandon Cooks, and I thought he would be the deep threat we were lacking. And it was another one for a fifth rounder.
And eventually he came on late in the year.
He did, and he was pretty good. Yeah. Both of them were both very good. So I give Jerry plus on those two. Jerry loves to run the draft. And remember, it's Jerry's sign-off on every pick, all the top picks. I'll say first three, four rounds. Jerry has veto power. He's listening to what all the scouts say. He's listening to the input from the coaches. Yet it's his final choice.
And I'm okay with that.
And he takes total credit for it because this is how Jimmy and Jerry fell apart way back when, is because Jimmy just didn't love it. As Jerry always told me, you have to coach the coach. You have to, on draft day, you have to say, slow down. Maybe we should try this. And kind of finesse it and oversee it and then veto if you don't like the direction it is heading.
Well, he's using his business mind to do it that way, opposed to coaches falling in love with players and just like, oh, my God, I like this guy, I'm taking him.
Yeah. So Jerry can get a lot more credit from running the draft when he's out with his friends or whatever. Everybody said, what, you know, what'd you see? What'd you see in that kid that you took in the third round? And if you just go splash the first day in free agency, it's not as fun for Jerry because it's easy for Arthur Blank to go buy Kirk Cousins for $50 million a year, right? That's pretty easy to do. That doesn't take a lot of savvy.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head, what high-priced free agent quarterback has ever led a team to a Super Bowl? Hmm. Don't tell me Tom Brady. I don't want to hear that. Because Tom Brady, that's he in his own universe. That's something different.
Yeah.
That's just a different... animal.
I don't know. It's a good question because no one jumps off the page to me.
No, because if you're a high-priced quarterback as a free agent, you probably ain't no good. That's why your team is letting you go.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Okay.
All Super Bowl winning quarterbacks are all franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Usually retire with their team.
To your point, the Vikings had a chance to keep him, and they look.
They went and got Sam Darnold because they think, well, we ain't going to pay him that much money. We can give Sam Darnold a Baker Mayfield look and one-year deal, and let's see how that goes.
Way less, yeah. Oh, with Baker last year, yeah.
No, Baker this year. Baker last year. Yeah, absolutely.
No, you're right. If you're on the market, there's something wrong with you.
If you're a quarterback and you appeared in a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl, or even if you didn't, and you were with an organization for a very long time, they're not letting you walk out the door. Aaron Rodgers walked out the door because Aaron Rodgers didn't want to be there. They had a contingency plan in Jordan Love. If Aaron Rodgers wanted to be there, if really wanted to be there, they would have kept Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think they were tired of him.
But he started the tired of him years ago.
Yeah.
But if he just would have just played football, Aaron Rodgers would still be a Green Bay Packer.
And remember, his last three playoffs for Green Bay were not pretty.
I understand. Yeah, okay. But you can't find Aaron Rodgers on the bus stop on Pico and Motor. Doesn't work like that.
Pico and Motor is right here. That's,
but you can find a lot of quarterbacks on Pico and Motor that's not Aaron Rodgers.
True. Well said.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is what former New York Giants running back Tiki Barber said with a smile and a chuckle on his daily WFAN radio show in New York about the Giants' Saquon Barkley signing with the rival Eagles. He's dead to us now. You're dead to us, Saquon. Good luck. You're dead to me. Tiki Barber told ESPN that the comment was made tongue-in-cheek. Barkley didn't take it that way. Saquon Barkley reposted Tiki's video with the comment, LOL, yep. You're the prime example of loyalty to a team. I got the deal I wanted, secured more GM, which guaranteed money, which wasn't given to me before by the Giants. So if fans are going to hate me for that, so be it. But I never turned my back on my teammates and always had theirs. Saquon then wrote in a follow-up post, at Tiki Barber, you've been a hater since I got to New York and all the quote-unquote dead-to-me talk. Don't smile in my face when you see me. Keyshawn, whose side are you on here?
I'm really on Saquon Barkley's side.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is. But it's not even about, it's not against what Tiki Barber said. Tiki's always, I mean, that's just who he is. Whether he's smiling about it or chiming in, whatever it is, it sounds like to me he's always had issue based on what Saquon is saying. I'm not in their business. I'm not right there. But it sounds like to me that he's always taken some sort of issue with Saquon since day one. That's what Saquon said. I agree. It's fine. You know, Tiki likes to talk. He's on a talk show. He's on radio. He likes to do those sort of things. Mm-hmm. It's fine. But it's bigger than what Tiki said. It all boils down to the New York Giants and what they did a year ago by giving Daniel Jones the money and not giving Saquon Barkley the money. They didn't pay Saquon the way he should have been paid. They didn't lock him up the way they should have locked him up. They made a decision after 2 years of negotiating. They were going to franchise tag him and pay Daniel Jones all the money and make Saquon Barkley earn his money. He had to got like basically earn it, show, stay healthy, do all of those sort of things. It drove somewhat a wedge between him and the organization, but he still showed up. He still played and still took care of business. As he said, he didn't walk out on his teammates. He showed up to camp.
Yep.
Came in. He didn't hold out and say, okay, I'll come in now and sign it. He didn't wait to the very last minute. He came in to play with his teammates and give it his all 100%. And now he hits free agency. It's called free for a reason. I'm able to go now and look at other organizations and teams that so desire my skill set that believes I can help them to another level. The New York Giants took about 2 years to make a financial commitment and decision on Saquon Barkley to franchise tag him. In less than 24 hours, the Philadelphia Eagles said, well, we're getting ready to give you a handsome ransom. Come play for us. We're going to pay you. We're going to give you $26 million of guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. Come be with us. We like what you do and your skill set. Mm-hmm. You are right down the street about an hour and some change up the road. Come be with us. The Giants didn't say that. And they that's okay.
Yep.
What is he supposed to do? He's now securing, as we like to call it, the bag for him and his kids and his family. It wasn't secured before that.
Mm-mm.
Just because he got drafted at the second pick of the draft and just because he got the franchise tag, that's not securing the bag. Securing the bag is when you go to your second contract.
I agree.
And he's gotten his second contract now.
Yep.
It happens to be with the Philadelphia Eagles. It wouldn't have been any different if it was the Rams. What's the difference? It's free agency. You're allowed to go and seek free agency and get paid by teams. So I don't know why anybody would take issue, fans included, with him going to play for the damn Eagles.
Mm. Okay, I hear everything you just said, but I'm going to tell you why I'm on Tiki's side here. He is now paid to speak his mind on radio on a daily basis. You are now paid to speak your mind on television on a daily basis. And sometimes it's tricky and difficult because you have to navigate the minefield of staying close to people that you might have to comment about somewhat negatively or at least objectively. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely, okay. 100%.
So the issue with Tiki is different because he is tough on the Giants in a tough love way because he played for them at a very high level. He was very good at what he did. I can make a strong case that Tiki was consistently better than Saquon has been. We could go back and forth about that all day and all night.
No, but I wouldn't okay. argue that he wasn't a long-term, however long he played, 8 years or whatever it was that he played with the Giants, over his career, a better running back for the Giants than Saquon Barkley has.
Okay. So Tiki tough loves the Giants because he will be harshly objective about what they do and don't do. And yet in this case, he speaks with high credibility because he did actually play that position and he has been hard from the start on
Saquon.
Once
he fixed his fumbling,
he had fumble issues and he carried that football around all day with him. He was good to go. He speaks from high credibility about Saquon because I believe from the start he saw Saquon the way I did, a little overhyped, a little over-dramatized, like, oh, my God, did you see that? Did you see that breakaway? And Tiki's saying, no, I also saw 2.6 yards per carry on 15 other carries. So he's looking at Saquon in the same way the Giants ultimately did. Just not worth the big bang for the big bucks because he doesn't bang it between the tackles the way we need to.
He's talking about him going to play for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, no, but I mean,
that's
he's been. But Saquon said, you've been tough on me since I walked in the door, and he has been because he did not see enough.
Okay, first of all, you're contradicting yourself as well as Tiki.
No.
If you're walking in the door, Skip, That means you haven't even played
okay,
for the Giants yet. And if you're tough on me when I walk in the door, that means I haven't even put
like,
the pads
I don't
on.
See enough. I don't see
what
enough.
What you gonna
I'm not
see if
seeing.
I'm just walking in the door?
Okay, but in rookie year, second year, he's starting he, to
Oh, my God,
say,
his rookie year?
Yeah.
His rookie year?
Mm-hmm.
Are you crazy?
How many games did they win that year?
Oh, now we're talking about the...
He was transcendent.
Oh, my God.
He transformed
Nick,
the New York
jump
Giants.
In, please jump in Skip's ear
and finally,
give him
no.
the statistics on Saquon okay, Barkley, okay. his rookie year.
I know his rookie year inside and out, and they got doused twice by the Dallas Cowboys.
If a guy goes for 2,000 yards from scrimmage, you don't want that?
Okay. All I know is he's 0-10 against Dallas, and only
this is not about the
only twice in 10 games did he go over 100 yards.
Will you stop always making it about the Cowboys?
And here's Saquon's problem. You have to cut bait here. It shouldn't matter to you anymore. You
bait.
Got your money.
Yeah, he is cutting bait. That's why he's going to Philadelphia.
Okay, but you don't need to fire back at Tiki because it doesn't matter
if
anymore.
If I feel like you got an issue with me and you say something to me,
just go
I'm
on.
I'm going to try to torch
You're
your
good.
Ass out the way.
You're
out
good.
The door.
We'll torch the Giants next year twice.
I'm sure he's going to do that, too. And I'm sure the Giants probably isn't going to want to see them. They're probably not going to want to see them, even though they beat Philly at the end of the season.
They did.
Yeah, but Philly was banged
probably
up.
Beat them both times.
If you don't do anything against the Cowboys, you're no good. Just want America to know that.
0-10 against Dallas? That can't stop anybody's run, can't stop anybody. And we can stop Saquon. I think he gets exposed against the better teams. There you go.